Hello, everyone, and welcome into another edition of Empire Writes Back, the podcast. I'm John Franklin, co-site expert with this guy to my left. His name is Sean Dyer, and, you know, we've been doing some different segments week in and week out, but this one is arguably the biggest segment we've had ever in terms of doing a podcast. We are bringing in experts from sites all across the nation. It's the trade deadline special of Empire Writes Back, and we're happy to bring you in with us. Sean, are you excited?
I'm excited, John.
All right, awesome. We got a few guys on the conference call here, and the trade deadline is obviously one of the biggest times in baseball. We all know it. It's coming up. July 31st is right around the corner, but what better to do than I can't talk about everybody in the league. I don't know everything about everyone. You don't know about everything about everyone, but that's why FanSided has got experts everywhere. So we're going to bring in guys from all over the map, and we're going to get this thing going. And, you know, Sean, a big guy getting a lot of headlines, a lot of trade talk himself has been Sonny Gray out in Oakland. People think he could end up anywhere from New York, maybe Houston, Chicago. There's a lot of discussion going on about this guy. He's a very talented pitcher. First off, just with you, because you're right next to me, Yankees looking at him, they might like a starter in this guy, Sonny Gray. What do you got?
Yeah, definitely the big name on the market. 27-year-old righty. He's got the rest of this year plus 2 more years of arbitration. So he'll be under team control for 2.5 years. Definitely a real talented pitcher, ace type of an arm. And yeah, the Yankees are believed to now have kind of moved in to be the front runner. But he's going to be expensive because of all that team control that I mentioned. And he's pitching right now better than he has in a while. And he's healthy, which is a big thing for him. So I know we got guys from Houston and Chicago that are ready to have a little bidding war.
Yeah, let's bring him in. So, Cody from Houston, how are we doing, big guy?
Good. I hope y'all guys are well. And, yeah, let's jump right to a Sonny Gray topic. Everybody down here in Houston kind of had their hearts tied to Sonny Gray. Ever really since the offseason. I know my co-expert over at Climbing Tiles Hill, Eric Heisman, he actually had a recent post about Sonny Gray, and I encourage y'all to go check it out if we all have the chance. But yeah, the Astros, they're for a while, they're kind of looked as kind of the favorites for him because, you know, you have the past history with the between Billy Bean and Jeff Luno with their past trades, you know, especially the infamous trade Jed Lowry twice years past. But Sonny Gray would have been a good need in the Astros rotation. But, you know, they have appeared to change lately, and the Astros, their rotation has picked up the slack. You know, Dallas Keuchel's now back, Colin McHugh. So, and we all know that the Oakland A's, they're going to be asking they have a high asking price for Sonny Gray. You know, his numbers look good this year. It looks like he's rebounded from his injury plague. 2016, his numbers this year look similar to his first couple years in the majors. And, you know, he's got, and like y'all were saying, he's got the potential to be a frontline starting pitcher for any rotation he's in. Ideally, he would fit in nicely between Keuchel and Nicholas in the Astros rotation. But the asking price and the recent turnaround of the Astros rotation may not lead to a pairing in Houston. But who knows? Things can change between now and the deadline. And the Astros, who knows? They said, let's just go ahead and get another pitcher and really make a serious run in the postseason. But once again, the asking price could be the biggest detriment to Houston. Jeff Mills down the record the last couple of days of saying, you know, starting pitching may not be their top priority now. They don't want to give up too much in a trade for a starting pitcher. And but it's kind of curious to see what happens. But, you know, it appears that the Yankees may have the inside edge on the Astros in that regard.
Yeah, you know, Cody, it's awesome to hear such insight from, you know, a Houston fan in and of yourself, and we wouldn't be able to give the same, and we appreciate you being here. And we're going to bring in Jacob from Cubby's Crib. Jacob, why don't you give us a little reason why maybe the Cubs could find themselves going after a guy like Sonny Gray coming up on this deadline?
Well, I think the Sonny Gray conversation in Chicago has changed a lot in the last 2 weeks, but pre-Jose Quintana, I think that Gray was a top target. He was definitely kind of like with fans in Houston. He was on everyone's wish list. He's young. He can be an ace. He's got plenty of control left. But honestly, after the Cubs went out, added Quintana from the White Sox, they gave up a lot to do with their two top prospects in Dylan Cease and Eloy Jimenez. And honestly, I really don't see the Cubs making a play for Gray, too. The All-Star break, Cubs rotation, has an ERA around, I think, right above 2. Nick Arrieta's been lights out. Kyle Hendricks is back off the DL. Quintana's been solid in his 2 starts. Actually, we just had a post go live earlier today at Cubby's crib, breaking down how Sonny Gray going to the Yankees is a good thing for the Cubs, most notably because it keeps him from dark horse teams like Milwaukee, who are still flirting with the top of the NL Central.
Well, all right, Jacob, that's a very interesting take. I loved hearing that. Now, would you say then that the Cubs are completely out of any conversation with Gray, or do you think there's still a chance that he could end up in Chicago at some point?
I would say it's a very slim chance. I think the Cubs have more pressing needs. They're focusing on a backup catcher. There's been 4 or 5 names thrown around in the last couple weeks, and probably bullpen help is more of a priority right now than another starting pitcher. I think they will definitely address the rotation in the offseason. They might get a back-end starter, but I don't think they're going to go after Gray.
Gotcha. So bring Cody back in. Cody, if you're the Astros right now and you're looking at, you know, the Yankees might be a front runner for Sonny Gray, what's the price you're willing to give up right now in order to bring him in and get him in a Houston uniform?
Well, if I were in the front office's shoes, I'd probably make an offer center around either 1, Kyle Tucker, or 2, Whitley. They're the 2 top prospects in the Astros system. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Billy Bean said in the past couple of days that they're actually preferring a young outfielder in any return for Sonny Gray. So that would appear Kyle Tucker may be the one to target there. Or even Derek Fisher, who's listed at the Astros number 4 overall prospect. So one of those 2 guys. It'd be centered around a young outfielder, and you may have to throw in some interesting arms. One name I keep hearing around is right-handed pitcher Hector Perez. He's he's in the Astros high A club with the Buies Creek, I believe. And I believe that'd be kind of a package. It'd be a steep price. You know, it would take a couple, probably 2 or 3 top 15 top 20 prospects to get a deal done. When you look at a trade similar to what the Cubs did for Jose Quintana a couple weeks back, it'd be a steep price, but that'd probably be where the Astros, if they truly desire Sonny Gray, that'd be where they need to start at.
So, coming off of what you just said there, Cody, that great insight, unbelievable. Sean, as a guy coming from the Yankees, you hear that price on the table that Cody kind of just put out there. What are you saying as a Yankees guy? How are you going to try to go out and get a guy like Gray at that point?
Well, I agree with Cody 100% that it's going to take a similar package to what the Cubs got for Quintana. I think it'll be probably 4 prospects, like the White Sox gave up, 2 big name guys, and maybe 2 lesser big name guys, but with upside. And he also mentioned how Billy Bean is looking for a young outfielder to be the center of that package. So in terms of the Yankees, if you're looking at outfield prospects, Clint Frazier's, I believe, untouchable, as I think he should be because of how he's played so far in the big leagues. And then you have Blake Rutherford, who's our second best outfield prospect. He just got shipped to the White Sox in the Robertson, Frazier, Canley deal. So I think then you're looking to center deal around either Esteban Florial, who's 19 years old, playing in high A, was just in the MLB Futures game, or Jorge Mateo, who is in double A, naturally a shortstop, but ton of speed, 80 grade speed, and he's been transitioning to the outfield, and a lot of scouts see his future as a center fielder. So I think one of those 2 is probably your headliner. And then, yeah, you definitely got to throw in an arm. I think maybe a Domingo Acevedo, who touches triple digits consistently, tops out at 103, also was in the MLB Futures game. He's also in double A. So I think if you center it around one of those 2 young outfielders and then a big arm, and then you add maybe a couple more upside arms down the ladder, like a Zach Littell or something like that, who's also a Double A pitcher. Double A, the Trenton Thunder roster's got a lot of high upside prospects. The Yankees have a real deep farm system, so a lot of the top guys are in Scranton, AAA, and kind of blocking these guys in Double A from moving up. But they're very talented Double A roster that could be moved for Sonny Gray. I think the Astros and the Yankees both have the prospect talent to get a Gray if they wanted him. I think the Yankees definitely have the biggest need for a guy like Sonny Gray out of these teams, including Chicago. We mentioned Chicago doesn't really need him. And I think the Astros getting a Sonny Gray this year would be similar to the Cubs getting Chapman last year, where both teams at this point, you knew the Cubs were making the playoffs last year. That was pretty much a lock at the deadline. Astros are going to make the playoffs this year, huge lead in the AL West. So the Chapman move last year was really focused on the playoffs and what can get them through the playoffs into the World Series. Obviously worked out for them. They got their first ring in 108 years. I think the Astros getting Sonny Gray would be similar. They don't need him to get to the playoffs. They may not even need him to get through the playoffs, but getting him would certainly make the playoffs a much easier road. But the Yankees, I think, are the team that need him to do any type of damage in the playoffs. They can get there without him, most likely, with the rotation they have. But in order to make any noise come October, I think they need a guy like Gray. So I think if Gray gets moved, it's going to be the Yanks because of the Astros. Like Cody mentioned, not willing to get. I don't think he needs to give up a ton because he's not really a necessary move. They could get back into the rotation help or bullpen help or something like that. Where the Yankees, I think, would be more motivated to go and get a guy like Gray, and be willing to sacrifice some of their prospects because of the team control, and that he wouldn't be just this year. You have him now as you're in your rotation in the future, moving forward to pair with Luis Severino. So I think if anybody's gonna get Gray, I think the Yankees would probably be able to outbid him. So I think, that would be where I would stand with the Yanks in terms of Sonny Gray.
Now, guys, that was a great start. Great insight on starting pitching. We loved hearing such great stuff from our analysts. Now we're going to move from the starting spot to the bullpen. One guy that's gotten a few trade talks is Addison Reed of the New York Mets. And we got Rick here to talk all things New York Mets. And Rick, you see a guy like Addison Reed, you're trying to shell him off and get the best deal for it. In your mind, what's the best situation giving up a guy like Addison Reed?
Well, I think the problem with the Mets trading Addison Reed is that there are a dozen Addison Reeds on the market right now. There are a slew of relievers that are available from Baltimore's Zach Britton, Detroit's Justin Wilson. So that's going to lower his trade value. And the Mets, this is a team that is looking to retool to contend in 2018. They're not looking to rebuild. So getting a boatload of prospects like the Phillies did yesterday for Pat Neshek, that doesn't really help the Mets. They need impact players that can help them next year. And I'm not sure that there's a team out there, maybe the Dodgers is one that jumps to mind, that can provide them with that kind of a package for a guy like Reed, who is extremely valuable. He can fill any role in the bullpen. He's proven that he can handle the pressure of pitching in a big city. It's going to be interesting to see what they do. If I'm the Mets, I might actually hold on to him.
Mm. Now, Rick, it's cool that you brought up the Dodgers, because we actually have Anthony calling in to talk all things Dodgers. And Anthony, you heard the Dodgers throwing out there, the way Rick said it, that they might be the premier team that would give the right thing to get Reed. What do you think the Dodgers are willing to give up at that point in order to bring in a guy like Addison Reed?
Well, for the past month, a lot of talk has been coming up for the Dodgers, looking into Justin Wilson from the Tigers, Brad Hand from the Padres, and just recently Addison Reed started coming up, and he's not going to cost as much as the other guys because he's coming into next season, he's going to be an unrestricted free agent. So he's not going to be a big haul for the Mets, but they are looking to retool for next year. So if the Dodgers were to give something up, it would be something probably in their AAA system. I know that's what the Mets are looking for. The Dodgers don't have a glaring need for a reliever right now, but adding something like Addison Russell would really help. As everybody knows, the Dodgers are doing great this year, and they're just looking for that one piece to push them through to hopefully their first World Series title since 1988.
Right, all right. And, you know, another team that comes to mind when we talk Addison Reed, Boston Red Sox, and we've got Daniel from Bo Sox. Daniel, do you think there's a necessary situation where Addison Reed ends up being a Red Sox, or do you think this is going to be more of the Mets and Dodgers talking back and forth and Boston floating in the background?
Yeah, I mean, compared to the Dodgers, the Red Sox definitely have a larger need for Addison Reed right now. They don't really have an eighth inning guy out of Kimbrel. I mean, yeah, they're third in the American League in ball for the ERA, but that's very taunt heavy. They don't have an eighth inning guy without Joe Kelly who's on the disabled list right now, so there's 100% need there. If you want to talk about valuing Addison Reed, I think that the return that Neshek got is a good benchmark. You can even look to what the Red Sox gave up for Eduardo Nunez the other day. They're looking at maybe a mid-level prospect, a guy in the 20 to 25 range, and plus a throw-in to see what comes of that. So, yeah, I mean, the Red Sox, they should be in on Addison Reed. They're obviously a ton of relievers on the market right now that'll drive the value down. Maybe the Red Sox are engaged in as well, but if they don't add some of the bullpen, they're kind of giving up on the season at this point.
So, Rick, you're hearing these two deals come at you, Dodgers, with some prospects, Red Sox prospects. You're looking at two. At that point, do you think that you're going to wash and not even go after either of those two deals, or do you think one of those deals is enticing enough to bite?
I think that there's a deal to be made with both teams. I think that at the end of the day, that what Sandy Alderson's going to wind up doing is he'll shop Reed around until right up to the deadline, and he will take whatever the best offer on the table is.
Gotcha.
I don't necessarily think that's the right move to make, but I think that's what he's going to do.
Gotcha. And there have also been very minimal rumors about maybe Chicago diving in on Reed conversations. Jacob, do you have anything to add to the conversation as far as Addison Reed goes?
Yeah, I think like one of the other guys mentioned, I think there's just an overabundance of Addison Reed-esque relievers out there right now. And I think it's far more likely the Cubs hook up with Detroit on a Justin Wilson, Alex Avila type package. I think that addresses more needs. I think Wilson would fit better in Chicago for what the Cubs need in their pen. Because, kind of like the Dodgers, the Cubs don't need another reliever. It's more of a it's nice to have type of move. Hector Rondon, Pedro Strop, Carl Edwards Jr. are all perfectly capable of being top-notch relievers. It just comes down to consistency, and I think someone like Wilson paired with a veteran catcher, which obviously addresses the Cubs' backup catcher needs, I just think that makes more sense.
Now, Jacob, while we still have you here on the horn, do you think Rene Rivera, while we're still talking Mets stuff, do you think Rene Rivera is a possibility to bring in from the Mets at that point?
Yeah, I definitely think he fits what the Cubs are looking for. I mean, the simple truth is that they don't want somebody that's going to be chomping at the bit to play 4 or 5 days a week. Wilson Contreras is the Cubs' starting catcher. He's the catcher of the future. He has been on fire since they designated Miguel Montero for assignment. He's batting in the cleanup spot. He's got one of the best arms behind the plate in the league. This is his pitching staff. But a guy like Rivera would slide it nicely. He's played in a big city before. That's always something you have to worry about. It's really just a role player piece that the Cubs are looking for behind the plate, and somebody like Rivera could end up being that piece.
Gotcha. And, you know, Rick, we're going to bring you back in here. We're talking about possible deals with Addison Reed, but, you know, you're hearing all these possible options, and you kind of think to yourself, is there a market out there for the Mets more with Reed, or maybe for a guy like Lucas Duda, where the Yankees just across the way are looking for a first baseman, and Duda's name has been shopping around a little bit. You're the Mets. What sort of deal are you trying to make to see Lucas Duda in a different uniform?
I think in any deal with the Mets, whether we're talking Duda or Reed or whatnot, I think if we're looking at specific positions that the Mets are going to try and target, third base is one of them. So if you want to talk Duda to the Yankees, it's not going to be a deal that I think Yankees fans would be interested in making. But you take Duda and, I don't know, another piece, and you send him to the Bronx for Miguel Andujar.
Mm. Okay. Sean, you're the Yankees guy here. Do you think that that's a viable option for the Yankees to make that move?
I think maybe a couple weeks ago that would have made sense, but I think after the acquisition of Todd Frazier, sliding heavily over from third to first, first base isn't as big of a hole as it was because you had third base was iffy with Headley and first base was just terrible. Now you have, hopefully, Frazier's hit a home run the other day, so hopefully he'll pick it up. And now hopefully you have third base solved, and now first base is average, but you don't have a glaring hole like you did a couple weeks ago. Andujar, I like Andujar when he came up. He had one game. He was 3-for-4 with 4 RBIs in his debut. They questioned his defensive capabilities at third, but he can kick and hit. And maybe he doesn't have a future in the Bronx, because the hope is that Castro and Didi are the middle of the field for the future, and Gleyber Torres, when he's healthy, will play third base. So, yeah, maybe you don't have a real future spot for Andujar, and maybe you send him over to Queens. But I think, for me personally, I think that's a little bit of a steep price for a rental first baseman like Duda, because he's a top-10 prospect. We have a prospect, Dermis Garcia. He's a third baseman, much younger. He would take a little longer to get to the major leagues for the Mets, which I know is not what they're looking for. They're looking, as Rick said, retool, not rebuild, so he wants more immediate pieces. But that's a little steep for me. I would offer the Yankees have, after, like I said, the White Sox trade, they really bolstered their bullpen for the next year at least. So I think the Yankees have some minor league bullpen arms that could be of interest to the Mets, because the Mets know that their bullpen has been better this year than in years past, but they still are kind of looking for that solidified, complete bullpen to help out with this rotation, because if you're retooling, you're keeping this rotation, and when healthy, the starter should be set, but you need a bullpen to be able to hold those leads down. And I think the Yankees have some bullpen options in the minor leagues, like a Jonathan Holder or a Ben Heller or a Brian Mitchell or Giovanni Gallegos. There's bullpen pieces that I think you could send the Mets way for a Duda that would help out both teams. Obviously, the Yankees would get their first baseman for this rest of the season, and the rental option leaves way for Greg Bird in the future. But I don't know if I would give up Andujar, but I think lower level prospects would be the deal for me.
So now, Rick, while we're still talking Mets stuff, and, you know, we're talking about that market, there's been a little bit of talk about maybe Jacob deGrom going someplace. Do you think that that's a realistic option, or do you think that that's just blowing smoke in the water? Because like you said, this is a retool, not a rebuild.
I don't think you can ever say never, but it would take a tremendous package to get deGrom out of Queens. And Houston can certainly do it. They've got the pieces to pull it off. But again, they're not going to like the asking price, because it starts with Alex Bregman.
Yeah, there you go. Bregman is the big name in that deal, and we're going to bring Cody back in, because, Rick, you just name-dropped in Houston, and Cody, we still got you here. So, Cody, do you think it's possible that Houston is willing to give up a guy like Bregman and try to bring in a guy like DeGrom and maybe sprinkle in a few more pieces? What do you think the deal would be like there?
DeGrom's been mentioned around quite a bit in Houston, rather unlikely, but I'm not sure if the Astros, I know they think highly of Alex Bregman. If you remember from this past offseason when they were in discussions for possibly Chris Sale or Jose Quintana and with the White Sox, Bregman was a popular name. And the Astros, they think highly of him, and it would take a pitcher like DeGrom's caliber to finally slay the Astros. But at the end of the day, like it's been said, it would take a massive package for the Mets to part ways with DeGrom. Bregman would be the starting point. You probably have to throw in a few other names, like I imagine Forrest Whitley. The Astros' top pitching prospect would be mentioned. And maybe even a young outfielder like a Kyle Tucker or Derek Fisher as well. And it would just take a massive haul for the Astros to make that happen. And anybody would love to add DeGrom to their starting rotation, where the Astros rotation is right now and how highly they think of some of their younger guys. I would be completely shocked if they ever pulled off a deal like that, but at the same time too, I consider rather highly unlikely at this point in time.
So Cody, do you think that the asking price of Bregman is just astronomical? Do you think that's just out of this world?
The asking price for Bregman, while that's what they do hold him in high regard. He is, you know, this is his first full major league season. I have a fairly good idea that they will require a pretty noble player in return if they do trade Alex Bregman. Like I said, you know, they were supposedly in talks with Chris Sale and Jose Quintana previously. Chris Archer of the Rays was mentioned as a unlikely possibility in the past couple months as well, along with DeGrom. And yeah, I think they hold him in high regard in Houston. For them to part ways with him, they consider him the third baseman of the now and the future. And I think it would take a pretty notable player like a DeGrom for Houston to part ways with him. But yeah, his asking to acquire Bregman from the Astros, it'd take a pretty noble player in return.
Yeah, you know, with recently there was the injury to Carlos Correa. What's going to be the biggest effect from that? What do you think is going to come of Correa getting hurt?
Well, Correa getting hurt definitely threw a wrench into the Astros' offensive juggernaut they have this season. But as far as in terms of their depth in the infield, while they won't miss his bat and his leadership, it won't be a huge loss in the short term anyway, because he is projected to come back some point in September, so he'll get time to shake off that rust for the postseason run, hopefully. And two, you also can't overlook the fact that they've had good production out of Marwin Gonzalez this year. He's really stepped up in Houston. It's been kind of an unexpected step up, but he's really, if it wasn't for him, the Astros maybe feeling more pressure to acquire a stopgap shortstop, third base type. They also had Ulysses Ariel and Tyler White on the roster as well, and both of those guys can play first base and third base. And being in Houston until he had a little bit of hamstring discomfort the other day, Bregman, he was playing his game from reps at shortstop. And the great injury, well, on any other team, it'd probably be pretty devastating on the team's playoff chances. Like Houston, they built such a large lead in the AL West that they're like, well, we can, sweat this out for the next 6 to 8 weeks and get Correa back. And that leads into their trade deadline. I think that's the reason you don't really hear them attached to any position players right now, is because of one, the depth, and two, the massive lead they built in the AL West right now.
Right, gotcha. You know, to keep things in the great state of Texas a little ways away, Yu Darvish is finding his name in a lot of trade talks. And, you know, one of the teams that are apparently maybe making a push for Darvish are the Los Angeles Dodgers. And, Anthony, do you think there's a deal to be made there? What would you think would be the price for a guy like Yu Darvish? Who are you giving up if you're the Dodgers?
The Dodgers have been looking pretty deep in the Yu Darvish, according to a lot of reports. His no-trade list just came out today, and the Dodgers are not on it, so he could not make the deal to them. And the biggest question is if Texas is going to sell right now. They've been up and down this season. We've heard multiple reports. They are going to sell. They aren't going to sell. But like Addison Reed, he is also a rental, and so he wouldn't cost the astronomical price that somebody like Sonny Gray would. So if I'm the Dodgers, I'm not looking to give up my top prospect in Walker Buehler, who has made jumps all across the top prospect list coming off of Tommy John surgery, and Alex Verdugo, who's just, you guys might know him from his Jose Canseco-esque home run last night.
Right.
Those are the top two guys in the Dodgers league right now, and I'm not giving up anybody like them. Now, if you want to talk Yadier Alvarez, who is their third prospect, he's a young pitcher, just signed out of Cuba. The Dodgers, I'm not sure if the Dodgers want to give up him either, because they passed on Yoan Moncada to get him. Maybe a guy like Willie Calhoun, who's hitting the cover off the ball in AAA, his only question is he has no glove, he has no spot. But in a team like Texas, he would be perfect if he could play that DH role. So I'm giving up probably somebody like Willie Calhoun, giving up two prospects in the lower 10 to 15 area, and that should definitely be enough for Darvish, because like I said, he's a rental, and giving that top frontline pitcher for the Dodgers, it might be very important, because we don't know what may happen with Clayton Kershaw going forward.
I was just going to ask about that. I was just going to ask about the Kershaw injury probably having a big effect on this trade. Do you think that let's dive a little bit more in depth there. Do you think that the Kershaw injury is going to hold highly over this Darvish deal, or do you think it's not going to have that much of an effect on it?
You know, any time you get an injury from your best player on the team, it's going to put a little bit of pressure, especially when you're hoping to be in the World Series this year. And right now, the Dodgers don't have to sweat it out too much. They have a good lead in the NL West. They're looking to be on a pace for a 112-win season, I believe. So the regular season isn't the biggest issue right here. But come postseason time, we need to make sure that Clayton Kershaw is ready. And being able to give him a little bit more time to rest would be perfect. I actually just wrote an article about some silver linings for the Clayton Kershaw injury, and one of them was put more pressure on the front office to bring in a Yu Darvish type, just to have that little 1-2 punch that hopefully will be able to bring them over the hill and get them to the World Series.
I got you. You know, that's a very, very well put. I think another team that's going after Darvish right now is the New York Yankees, and obviously, I think with the Kershaw situation going on in Los Angeles, there might be a little bit more of a push from LA to get the rental out of Darvish than the Yankees would want to. But, Sean, do you think that realistically that there's a market for Darvish in New York?
I think so. I agree with Anthony in that because Darvish is a rental, he shouldn't cost too much of high prospects. But I do think that the Rangers are going to demand it. I think he mentioned Willie Calhoun. I think that's a good start, but I think they may want Alvarez as well. And I think that may get a deal done with those two. But I agree that I wouldn't give up those guys if I'm the Dodgers. I wouldn't give up the top guys if I'm the Yankees because he's a rental. I think this 2017 Texas Rangers are so similar to the 2016 New York Yankees in that they're sitting in that middle ground of, do we try and go for that wild card spot? Do we sell off our free agents to be? The Yankees obviously took the route of selling. They got rid of Chapman and Miller, even though he wasn't a free agent, and Beltran and Ivan Nova. And it worked out great for them, as you can see now. They have this loaded farm system to make moves now. And I think the Rangers, they spent the last couple trade deadlines going for it, which they thought that was their window, and I don't knock them for it. But they really depleted what was a very strong farm system. So I think they should definitely sell, especially Yu Darvish. If nothing else, just sell Yu Darvish because he's going to be a free agent. Get what you can for him. But yeah, in terms of the Yankees, I wouldn't give up. Obviously, Gleyber Torres, I don't think he's going anywhere for anybody. Frazier, I don't think is either. I wouldn't give up a Chance Adams. I wouldn't give up. I don't even know if I would give up an Esteban Florial for a rental like Darvish. I wouldn't give up Justice Sheffield. So that if there's maybe an Andujar. I said I wouldn't give him up for an Addison Reed, who's a rental, because I don't think we need a first baseman that much. But
you mean a Lucas Duda?
Right. Yeah. Sorry. Did I say Addison Reed?
You should ask me. Yeah.
So yeah, I wouldn't give him up. I wouldn't give Andujar to the Mets for a Duda because he's a first baseman. I don't think that's a huge need for the Yankees after the Todd Frazier acquisition. But I would give up an Andujar, I think, for a rental pitcher like Darvish. But yeah, I agree with Anthony that it shouldn't be the top prospects going to Texas for Darvish because of the rental status. I think the only issue for both the Dodgers and the Yankees is that the Rangers aren't going to care he's a rental. They're going to look at his numbers and that he is a top of the rotation kind of pitcher, and they're going to want big time names. But I think for the Yankees, the biggest issue for the Yankees, I think, is the Kershaw injury, because the Dodgers are going to be more motivated. I mentioned with the Sonny Gray deal how the Yankees needed him more than the Astros and the Cubs, and they could also use, and Darvish is the same thing. They could definitely use a starter, but I think now that with the Kershaw injury, the Dodgers are going to not panic, but it'll have a little more sense of urgency to go and get a guy like Darvish, rental or not, and give up some of their top prospects, because they are more so, this is more so their year. The Yankees are in a bit of a retool, we'll call it, and so I don't know if they need, maybe they go get a Darvish, but this isn't supposed to be their year. They were supposed to be looking 2018, 2019, and beyond. So I don't think they need to go and make that push now, but the Dodgers appear in position to make that playoff push now. So I think they'll be more motivated to go get Darvish, and he'll end up in LA.
And, you know, just to touch on one last guy before we let all of our highly regarded experts go here, we are going to talk about Justin Verlander a little bit. Verlander, who has obviously been one of the best pitchers in a long time for baseball, is said to be maybe hitting the trade market, possibly finding himself in Chicago. finding himself in Chicago. Do we think that, Jacob, there's a move to be made for Verlander to hit Chicago at any point?
Well, based off what I've heard, it sounds like the Tigers want to have their cake and want to eat it too. It's like saying, I want to work 10 hours a week and make six figures. With Verlander's contract, you are not going to be able to get a deal where a team eats money and gives you blue chip prospects. And if that's the demand the conversation start with Detroit, then they can keep paying Justin Verlander for the rest of the deal. Now, if you want to eat money or maybe lower the asking price and allow another team to consume that payroll to free up some money moving forward, then I think you can start having discussions. But I think Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer have worked too hard to build what the Cubs have to start taking on bad contracts and losing what talent that they still have in the minors. So I don't think Verlander goes to Chicago, at least not with the demands where they currently are. And outside of Verlander, I kind of just wanted to touch on the Dodgers and the Astros. I think they're both in a very similar spot to where the Cubs were a year ago. I mean, with the Dodgers, they're going to win over 100 games. Let Kershaw rest. Do your thing. It's kind of like when the Cubs lost Schwarber in like the fourth game of the year last year. The Cubs did panic. They knew they had depth. They knew they had the ability to run up a lead in the Central. They did that and they coasted. Schwarber comes back, delivers in the World Series. The rest is history. The Dodgers can do the same thing. But on the same hand, the Cubs knew the opportunity they had last year. They went out and they did what they had to do to bring in Aroldis Chapman, a 4-for-1 deal with the Yankees. And I think that's the situation. If I was the Dodgers or the Astros, that's kind of how I would look at it, too. Both teams have really good opportunities to make a run at a World Series in 2017, and they've got the depth to pull the trigger on any move they need. So I think if either of those teams really sets their eye on somebody, they're going to get what they need because they have the ability to do it, and their time is definitely right now.
Gotcha, Jacob. That was very well put. And, you know, while we're touching on that fact, why don't we bring in the guys from L.A.? And Anthony, why don't you touch on that? Do you think that, as Jacob put it, you're going to win over 100 games? It's time to just let Kershaw rest and find your way into the postseason?
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, Jacob. Like I said, my recent article, I talked about some silver lining, and I really want to get Clayton Kershaw some rest right now. Everybody knows his biggest narrative is his performance in the playoffs. And while it's up for debate if that's true or not, there has been an issue. And giving him much-needed rest, especially with that back issue that's come up two times in the last 2 years, would be perfect. If the Dodgers are looking to win a World Series, they need to get somebody. This team is presently built as perfect as can be, but there's in the previous seasons, you see contenders make a move for somebody. Whether it be Aroldis Chapman with the Cubs, Johnny Cueto for the Royals, there's always a move at the deadline by the World Series winner, and that might be something the Dodgers need to do. Justin Verlander may not be that guy because of previous points mentioned with his contract, his decline. But if you take on Justin Wilson and you eat up some of the money for Justin Verlander, that might be a package the Dodgers might be interested in making in order to get them the guys that they need to make that run.
Gotcha. And Sean, as a Yankees guy with the apparent AL East competition going on, what do you think the worth is of a move to a guy like Verlander for the Yankees?
Well, I agree with Jacob in saying that if the Tigers are going to demand you take the salary and we want prospects, Verlander will remain in Detroit well past the deadline, probably, like you said, the remainder of his contract. But I think the Yankees could definitely use him. I think the one thing the Yankees have, they could maybe offer Jacoby Ellsbury's contract back to Detroit. They're pretty even. It would be Verlander's supposed to make, they're both signed through 2020. Verlander's set to make $10 more million than Ellsbury. So I think if maybe the Yankees were to, we swap contracts there, the Yankees are taking on an extra $10 million, which to the Yankees, that's not a problem, especially if you're getting a Verlander who could be in your rotation instead of Ellsbury, who's now a glorified pinch runner and is not even in your starting outfield anymore. And the way Clint Frazier's playing, with Aaron Hicks coming back, the way he was playing before injury, I don't see Ellsbury getting that spot back. Well, at least he shouldn't. Hopefully he doesn't. So I think maybe you send him to Detroit, but because we're now sending money back and we're not taking all of Verlander's deal, yeah, maybe you throw in a few prospects. Again, it wouldn't be the top guys. Maybe just some high upside arms. I've mentioned a few of them. Fricer, Perez, Zach Littell, guys like that that are in like the 15 to 25 range on our prospects. Maybe throw one arm like that. Maybe some lower arms that aren't even on the top 30 list, like I mentioned Ben Heller before, or Gallegos. But yeah, I think Verlander should definitely be of interest to the Yankees, but only if you can get rid of Ellsbury's contract, because obviously the Yankees have plenty of bad contracts. They've grown accustomed to doing it, and they have another one in Ellsbury. We don't need another one in Verlander. But I think if you could swap those contracts out, anything you get out of Verlander is better than the pinch running you're going to get out of Ellsbury. So I think it's definitely worth looking into. Yeah, I think the real competition will be Chicago. I think he probably ends up in Chicago. I don't think they give up any prospects. They probably just end up taking the money. But I think that definitely should be of interest to the Yanks. Anything really to get Ellsbury out of here is probably something Cashman will listen to. So, and I'd also like Justin Wilson from the Tigers, who the Yankees are apparently interested in. He was a Yankee just a few years ago. I don't see the need. After the White Sox trade, the Yankees bullpen's pretty much solidified. But and if they want to throw him in, I would take him as well. So that'll be interesting to see if the Yankees do anything with Detroit. I think their focus obviously is Sonny Gray, but you never know.
All right, well, you know, guys, we've got through every name on our list that we wanted to talk about with each of you. Thank you so much for your time. And everybody out there, these are all of our counterparts out there. Make sure you go check them out. We got Rick from Elite Sports New York talking everything Mets. We had Dodgers Way. We had Anthony here. We had Cubby's Crib. Daniel from Bosox Injection was also on the horn. Cody from Climbing Towels Hill, he was here. Don't forget to follow them all on their social media. Check them out on their websites. They're great. Gentlemen on the horn, you're good to go. Thank you so much for being a part of our trade deadline special.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, guys. Thanks, man. Thank you.
All right, guys. Have a good one. All right, folks. That was our trade deadline special with all of those guys from Fanside and everywhere. It was our pleasure to bring it to you. Sean, you got anything else to add, my friend?
I think that's about it. Real excited for the deadline. As we mentioned, this upcoming Monday, July 31st, 4 p.m. Eastern time, that's when we'll know what moves have been made and what moves have not. Should be an exciting weekend and last couple hours on Monday.
All right, well, folks, there it was. We tried to bring everything we could to you. We were all over the map, literally all over the map, trying to get names from guys everywhere. We hope that you enjoyed our trade deadline special. Don't forget to follow us on social media. We're on Facebook, Empire Writes Back. We're on Twitter, at Empire Writes Back. Back spelled B-C-K. We are also on Twitter, your co-site experts. I'm at Hey It's Franklin 6. He's at Sean R. Dyer. And you know what? We want to thank, once again, everybody out there that was a part of everything. From Bosox Injection, Daniel. From Cubby's Crib, we had Jacob. From Dodgers Way, Anthony. From Elite Sports New York, we had Rick. And from Climbing Towels Hill, we had Cody. Guys, it was a pleasure bringing it to you. That's our trade deadline special. Let's kick it to the weekend.